You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Friday, the third day of February, and we're talking Cubs baseball today with Kerry Muscat. As always, Kerry, thank you for the time. And, Kerry, let's start here. The Cubs making a rather intriguing acquisition as of late. They traded for former first-round pick Eddie Butler, who had spent his first three big league seasons with the Rockies. Butler is going to be 26 in March, still very much a young man. He's entering his fourth year now. You know, the numbers on the baseball reference page don't look great, but you also have to factor in that he has pitched at least half his games at Coors Field. That will make any pitcher look bad if the circumstances aren't great. So, Kerry, what do the Cubs see in Butler right now, and what gives them hope that he can, you know, discover that talent that at one time made him a highly touted first-round pick?
I really think just a change of scenery might be best for Butler. He just, as you said, you know, pitching in Colorado isn't very welcome to a lot of pitchers. And I think what the Cubs are hoping is that let pitching coach Chris Fazio work with him, get him out of Colorado, and just sort of start fresh. He's also not he looks more as insurance in terms of the rotation. They're very concerned about making sure they have enough backups, you know, with Lackey and Lester and Arrieta having pitched so much last year. They're just really trying to make sure that they have enough arms. So he's just one of the arms.
And, Kerry, I think I read that he has one minor league option remaining. So how much more attracted did that make him to know that, you know what, he doesn't have to be on the 25-man roster right away? We can put him down in AAA and call upon him when needed.
I hate to say it, but that's really one of the biggest attractions right there. It's just having the options. I mean, right now the Cubs are – this will be an interesting spring for someone like Matt Caesar, for example, who does not have options left. You know, and the Cubs are going to have to make a – you know, is he going to be their extra outfielder? Do they take a chance, you know, put him on waivers? That's where the business of baseball gets to be kind of icky.
Yeah, certainly it does factor
for lack
in.
Of a better word. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. It does factor in whether you have the minor league options or not. You know, so Butler has one left. Caesar does not, and it's going to be a very interesting jigsaw puzzle for Joe Maddon and friends when camp opens up in just a couple of weeks. And Kerry, with regards to that, the Cubs are going to have quite a few new faces when spring training does open for the team in Arizona. Two dozen non-roster invitees are going to be on hand, and there's a few names in that group that you know, look familiar and stand out. Certainly Munenori Kawasaki is one. Talk about him and talk about some of the other names in that two dozen that kind of intrigue you.
Well, I hate to be kind of a wet blanket here over some of these guys, but there really aren't many openings on the Cubs big league, you know, 25-man roster that'll be breaking camp. What they're really looking at, again, is insurance, you know, giving these guys a chance. Kawasaki, for example, is an infielder who could play multiple positions, so they could call up if somebody were to get hurt. You know, there's I guess what I enjoy in terms of the non-roster invitees are the kids, the minor leaguers that are invited. You know, somebody like Eloy Jimenez, somebody like John Andreoli, who are really interesting kids to watch and to see sort of the future Cubs. But really, with the bulk of the roster set for a lot of these players, is can we show them or show someone that we're, you know, we're good for insurance, we're good for backups.
Yeah, certainly. And Kerry, the 24 number of, you know, the guys that are going to be invited to camp, is that about average? Is that what you see year to year? Is it big? Is it small? How do you assess the, you know, that 24 figure?
That's kind of normal. Yeah.
Okay.
And again, I guess what I like is seeing them reward, you know, the kids, like a guy like Ian Happ. Ian Happ is their number one, ranked number one on the MLB.com prospects list for, among Cubs prospects. This is a kid who's just really, or at least I hope so. This is a kid who's really worked hard in terms of making a transit. You know, people were playing him in the outfield. He's a really good middle infielder, second baseman, and he's worked really hard at that. And he had a really good season last year, good off season in the Arizona Fall League, and it'll just be, you know, for him to get exposure to the big league camp. Those are the kind of things that I sort of look for more on the non-roster list. You know, Jimenez will be there. He's number two on the MLB.com list. You know, he's really talented young outfielder, but it's just, this is sort of that introduction to the big leagues that that is really just key to them. They'll be able to hang out with some of the other players, you know, see what they do. And it's just such a great learning experience for them.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, you know, for these young guys to be around the veterans, the guys that have experience. And in this case, championship experience, it's invaluable. So that's a great segue to kind of the next topic about, you know, the prospects that are, you know, working their way up the pipeline as MLBPipeline.com releasing its top 100 list, and five of those 100 in the Cubs system. We've gone through some of the names so far. Eloy Jimenez, we've got Ian Happ, also Albert Almora Jr., who has spent considerable time at the big league level in 2016. So, Kerry, you know, elaborate on those guys a little bit, and maybe in terms of timetables, you know, what are the odds that we could see one or more of them at Wrigley at some point in 2017?
The Cubs have five players in that top 100 list, led by Eloy Jimenez, who came in at number 14. Albert Almora Jr. is on the list also, although I have this argument with the pipeline people every year about some of the kids that they put on there, because Almora is projected as being the Cubs starting center fielder, so right. I'm not sure he should be considered really a prospect. He's going to get it's him and John Jay in center as of now. Jamer Candelario comes in at number 96. He came up briefly last year, really good third baseman, really good defensively. And then the kid kind of keep an eye on, but who's making progress, is Dylan Cease, 21 years old. He was a sixth-round pick in 2014 and pitched at Eugene, Class A Eugene, which is a short season, so that's low A ball. Keep an eye on him. I know Jason McLeod, who's the Cubs director of player development and scouting, called Cease one of the more exciting prospects that they have. And so it'll be kind of fun to watch how he progresses. As you can tell, I sort of get a kick out of the kids, watching the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. They're fun to watch. You know, these guys that have so much talent, and they're getting exposed, you know, to the big league level, at least in spring training. And we'll see where their journeys take them. And I agree with you on some of the designations and classifications about, you know, is a guy a prospect or not. I found it a little odd that, you know, the number one prospect in baseball is Andrew Benintendi, but he's going to be the starting left fielder for the Red Sox all year, best case scenario. So it's a little, there is some gray area there, but nonetheless, you know, the Cubs getting five players on that top 100, and the pipeline is still very much strong, despite the team graduating so many players from their farm system as part of the core of the 2016 championship team. And Kerry, to wrap this session up, we'd be remiss if we did not mention all the fun on Twitter that Anthony Rizzo is having right now. His latest thing is twerking for ticks, where he wants people to submit dancing videos to his Twitter handle for a chance to win tickets to a Cubs game. He had a very passionate debate about whether a hot dog is a sandwich or not. That's been ongoing for years, but he kind of threw his hat into that ring. Is it safe to say that no active player is having more fun this offseason than number 44?
Well, he is having a good time. I do know that he did. I think he won in terms of the MLB.com awards. Didn't he win social media star of the year?
I believe he did, or he was at least in the running. Yeah.
So I think he's. I think he's challenging again, trying to defend his title here in 2017. What I like is that the kid that he picked, the contest is over, so people don't need to send him any more videos. But the kid that won was somebody who was leading a cancer patient who was leading some people at a dance marathon at Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago. So there's a nice video of that on Anthony Rizzo's timeline. So it's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, but, he's certainly having fun this offseason. There's no question about that. So, and he's going to be getting back to work in just a couple of weeks, along with the rest of his teammates, as the defense for the 2016 title begins, as they try to make it back-to-back in 2017, of course. A good place to wrap this one up today. Kerry Muscat, our thanks to you. We'll do it again soon. In the meantime, it's Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Chicago Cubs.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.